Last Sunday, we finished the little mini-series on Every Member Ministry as we were preparing for this coming fall. And before I leave that emphasis, I wanted to have one more message from the book of Ephesians. After all of that teaching on our place within the local church and all that God wants us to do, then the kind of walk we can have, chapter 5, which leads to spirit-filled relationships, he ends with a very strong warning about the fact that when we are endeavoring to serve the Lord, there will be spiritual battle. And we need to be reminded of that on a regular basis. There was an old Scotchman who couldn't read or write, and the pastor, of course, knew that that was going to impede him, and so he took time and taught this fellow that was in his church. And so he went for an hour every day. It was quite a sacrifice to teach him to read. He used the Gospel of John as the textbook, and the old Scot was very interested in reading because he could read the Gospel of John. Well, a little later, the pastor was called away for a time, and when he came back, he wanted to see how his pupil was progressing. He had left him with instructions on what to do. And when he got there, he was not home. And so he asked his wife, "Well, how is your husband doing? How's he getting along with his reading?" "Oh, he's doing very well." He is able to read then?" "Oh, yes, he's doing wonderfully." "Well, is he enjoying his reading of the Bible?" "Oh," she said, "he's gotten away out of the Bible into the newspaper a long time ago." Well, what happens is we can very quickly get caught up with life. And even though we may be faithful, we do not have spiritual sensitivity and discernment as we ought to have. And we underestimate the spiritual battle we're in. I've brought up on several occasions the famous Russo-Finnish war during World War II. Russia, of course, was vastly superior in its force, 3-1 in personnel, 8-1 in air power. But Russia lost had terrible losses. Remind you of something happening today, but they underestimated the Finnish people. And unfortunately, even though Satan is a defeated foe, and praise the Lord, folks, he is a defeated foe. So we need to always keep that in mind. We do forget that he hates the cause of Christ. He hates the Lord. And he is opposed to anyone that is endeavoring to serve in the stead of Christ as God has called us to do. He, of course, came to Eve as a snake, a serpent. Certainly would have looked different than what we see today, but he was cursed. The snake was because he was that animal or that reptile was used by Satan. But the characteristics of a snake certainly are very similar to Satan. A rattlesnake, only 2 minutes old, can strike and kill someone. Snakes can engulf prey on the ground. They can do it in the water. They can hide with perfect camouflage and attack, and their presence not being detected. And they're even able at night, many of them, because their eyes can be like that of a cat, vertical, and they're able to see in the dark. And so Satan is constantly on the prowl to endeavor to stop the work of the Lord. And we do not need to have a morbid fear of Satan, but we need to have a realistic understanding of the battle that there is and the power that he has if we are not walking in the Spirit of God. And it's been said, and I think it's so true, a Christian who no longer has to struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil is a Christian who has fallen in either into sin or into complacency. A Christian who has no conflict is a Christian who has retreated from the front lines of service. Now, let me just say, Satan comes at you whether you're on the front line of service or not. The problem is you don't see it. When you're on the front lines of service, you see it and you realize how real the battle is. But the good thing about that is that you can then see the battle won. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 as we're going to look at just a couple of verses from the Great Armor of God passage, which is very important for us because this is strategically located here as a conclusion to the great book of Ephesians, which gives us the glory of what God has planned in this age, and that's the local church. God wants to manifest himself and accomplish his purpose through local assemblies of believers. And so we're right in the middle of the work of God, and we have seen over the last couple of months God's plan in chapter 4. Every one of us are called, every one of us are gifted, every one of us can be trained and edified and brought to a place of great usefulness, and we all can be part of seeing Christ's work go forth mightily. But believe me, Satan doesn't want that to happen. And so why do you think a lot of believers don't quite make it into that? It's pretty exciting to be used of God. It's pretty exciting to think we're gifted. It's exciting to think we have great potential because of what God has done. What happens? Well, Satan knows how to get at us one way or the other. And I believe American believers are as blind to this as much as anyone, and not really understanding the battle. So I'm going to just give 2 points here this morning. And that is that using the more of the military theme, we need to be on biblical reconnaissance. Biblical reconnaissance. One of the things today that is amazing, especially with technology, is how superior military forces know what's going on very strategically with the enemy. And if you don't, you're going to pay the price. That's one of the reasons the 12-day war was such a shock, is that they lost their reconnaissance ability, and therefore they were vulnerable. And so we see that many times, but oftentimes we're extremely vulnerable because we do not have spiritual eyesight. Now we have two different problems, and we need to ask God for spiritual eyesight and ask God to help us to see properly. But a lot of times we don't have that because we either resting in the fact that, we're just resting in our Christian life and we're underestimating the power of Satan, or because we do not understand the great victory that we have and live in defeat and fear. And so either one of those need to be overcome. During World War II, a serviceman from back in that day said, we were leaving Pearl Harbor on a patrol craft, and they came around the corner and looked up and saw that they were on a collision course with an enormous aircraft carrier. If you've ever been around an aircraft carrier, they take your breath away. I mean, it's just amazing how huge they are. Well, they had emergency back down and a sigh of relief as they, just a few feet away, went alongside of that massive aircraft carrier. And as the patrol craft, being only 100 feet long and the crew was standing there, they were feeling very insignificant. However, this serviceman said, our pride was saved by our ship's mate. He took a megaphone in hand and yelled, our skipper can beat your skipper. And so on the one side, I'm telling you, doesn't the world and Satan and the flesh seem like a big old aircraft carrier? You know, it just seems so big. But we can say it with all of the truth that there is, our skipper can beat their skipper. In other words, Satan is defeated, and his head has been crushed. He is still able to function, but Jesus Christ sits enthroned above, and so we need to live in confidence. But the greater problem that we face is that we look at it from the other standpoint. We just don't realize the battle that is there. Folks, in his commentary, said, what is most important is that the apostle would not have his readers underestimate the power of the forces against them. We may bring out the emphasis of the original by translating, not for us is the wrestling against flesh and blood, Momentarily, he would change from the figure of a soldier armed for battle to that of a wrestler. For the latter gives the stress he seeks to convey on the personal nature of the conflict and the reminder that guile as well as brute strength has to be faced. All right, look with me now at that section. I'm going to go to the two previous verses, and then we're going to look we're looking primarily at 12 and 13. But let's go back to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, here's the conclusion. Be strong or strengthen in the Lord. Only the Lord can give us the strength. And in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. We'll stop there. We need to understand that there is a constant potential for battle. That's why I'm bringing this up. Because as many of you have said, I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to be what God wants me to be. Well, it's not just a nice little participation in an organization. We are talking about being part of the body of Christ that is waging war against Satan for the souls of men and for his honor and for his glory. And there is the need for us then to be completely armored because we have to be in His strength. We cannot do ministry on our own. That is a very key point that I want to get across. We must understand right now as we think about ministry in the immediate, the ultimate challenge with the teens, our vacation Bible school the following week, and all of the folks that will be here. We're going to be organized as best as we can, but that's not going to be what wins people to Christ. We have to have the power of God, and we must have His strength to be able to overcome all the interference that Satan is going to bring. Now, His interference can always be overcome, but the fact is we have to be alert and awake and understanding that we need His strength. And we've got to watch out, as one writer says, for lethargy, indifference, spiritual stagnation, a biblical perspective on the situation, and a clear perception of the direction things are moving, especially in the scriptures teaching about the end times, does not leave room for such delusion in the mind of any believer. The war between God and Satan has not diminished but intensified, and so it has its front on this earth. And let me just say, folks, that if you can understand that there is going to be constantly the need to be strong in the Lord, then you really are not able to be stopped. But we have a tendency to let down and forget what we are doing in the ministry. Of course, I have the privilege of being full-time in the ministry, but we really all are called, as I've talked about. But I'm very aware all of the time of the spiritual intensity of what's going on. In fact, when you sense that battle, you get encouraged. That means something good is happening. God is working. Satan sees it. And that's when God's people need to realize that they have all that they need to be able to overcome that. But it's interesting, as I've mentioned a couple times here, we are in a wrestling mode. It's combat. It doesn't have all the nice rules of modern wrestling. Now, I'm not talking about professional wrestling. I'm talking about real wrestling. Okay. It doesn't have all of that and the limited amount of time and so forth. It is an intense, personal, hand-to-hand, sustained, unrestrained strain until someone is flat on their back. That's a pretty good definition. Another one coming out of the text here, this word for struggle was used of hand-to-hand combat and especially of wrestling. As in our own day, wrestling was characterized by trickery and deception, with the difference that in fights in ancient Rome, the conflict was real and often a matter of life for the winner and death for the loser. And so when the Apostle Paul, under inspiration, uses this term, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, he's making it very clear that there's an ongoing, intense battle that is going on, and it's of a very, very serious nature. Now, you notice it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. How many times is Satan able to get us into conflict with people? And our focus goes on to people rather than the spiritual reality behind the conflict. I tell you, if you can learn that lesson, it's a big one. So often, Christians are discouraged by this, by situations that come in the form of people not doing what they ought to do and opposing them or whatever, and things just seem strange in that whole battle. So oftentimes, it is Satan stirring that up. Our real spiritual battle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the different levels of satanic opposition. And so it's so important that we learn to get spiritual discernment through prayer. The end of the armor passage ends with prayer. I'm jumping ahead to that. Look with me at verse 18. Here's the conclusion of the whole armor of God passage. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Do you sense some intensity in that? Now, the Apostle Paul is saying the key for us to win the battle against Satan and to be able to see all that God has called us to do to go forth is going to be praying. And in fact, it says always. And you say, how can you pray always? It's abiding in Christ. It's having that dependence upon Him, talking to the Lord, depending upon Him, being conscious of Him, not just living life naturally over here and then sometimes living a spiritual life. Even the secular is sacred to a Christian who is Spirit-filled. They see God in everything. And God the Spirit can work in our hearts if we have that kind of heart. So praying always, but there's got to be specific times of intense prayer. In fact, this morning, I trust you took your stand against the evil one. I trust that you submitted yourself to the Lord and realized that God wants to do something very special in your life and in your family today, and He will do it if you're not just coasting, not if you're not in darkness, if you're not blinded by just the distractions of life. Think about how many times we come into a Bible study or come into preaching and our minds are somewhere else. Satan loves that. But I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God is in control and we're not falling for those distractions and deceptions, it's amazing how just simple words of truth can be life-changing, can lift us from earth to the throne of heaven, can cause us to see the glories of our God that created this universe, cause us to get out of ourselves and see the lives of others and have a love that is not of ourselves, but a love that is of God. And so prayer is absolutely essential. And that is why if a church corporately is going to go forward and truly win the battle, it's got to be done together in prayer, because we've been praying individually, and then that heart of individual prayer brings us together in corporate prayer. You're probably familiar with the illustration of C.H. Spurgeon. He was showing some visitors over the tabernacle there, Metropolitan Tabernacle. Got to see the front of it again when the senior class, I was with the senior class in London. Always stirs me when I see it. And after taking them to the main part of the building, he said, let me take you now to the heating apparatus. Imagine their surprise, the writer says, when he took them to a room where 400 were gathered in a prayer meeting. The church was warmed by that prayer meeting. And I'll tell you, folks, the power of prayer. Every time Spurgeon preached, he had a group of men seeking God under the, they had a room underneath the platform, and they were crying out to God. Folks, God said, if you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He meant it when he said that. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. If you will believe, you can have greater works. And that's all in that context of the matter of prayer. The only reason we lack, the only reason we get defeated, the only reason we feel empty is that we are not fellowshipping with God, seeking His face and winning the victory and getting His heart. As I've said many times, you cannot conjure up emotion for the lost world But you can get the heart of Christ, who has deep emotion for the lost world, in prayer, and how important it is. And so as we see in verse 12, we're constantly wrestling, but we can be, as verse 10 says, be strengthened in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we are up against four different categories here. Principalities, against powers. Notice the word against each time. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan has organized his demons. Now, demons do not procreate, so he has only a certain amount of demons. He's got a vast array of them. But I got good news for you. There's a whole lot more people on earth than way back then. You catch what I'm saying? Honestly think, if ever there's a day, folks, that we ought to realize that we can defeat the forces of Satan, it's today, because his ranks are thin. Okay, when we think of reaching the whole world, I believe the barriers of people groups can fall. I believe God can do great things. But we've got to seek him in prayer and realize that we are in a spiritual battle. Principalities, powers, those are rulers in the very highest order. Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and power, as he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The next level is powers. 1 Peter 3:22, who has gone into heaven on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him, different levels of authority. Then there's the rulers of the darkness of this world. These are the world forces of darkness. It probably refers to the demons who have infiltrated political systems. Said, have you ever wondered why political systems get so bad? Now, of course, you got human nature. That explains a lot. But the more you hear about things in other countries and in our country, it's really staggering. You look back at history in our country, you know, you look at the last 70 years, it's not pretty. It's not pretty in Washington. It's not good what happened. I mean, we haven't just in the last few years had troubles. We've had troubles for a long time. We haven't seen it. Demonic powers. I tell you, being the President of the United States, you need to pray for him every day, because Lucifer himself probably sits in that office some. And if he makes a decision you don't like, just pray for him, because for every good decision that he makes, that's going against the powers that are there. They're very real powers. You remember there in Daniel chapter 10, how the top demonic power that Michael could not overcome, or Gabriel could not overcome, was in control of Persia. And Michael had to come and release him so he could come and give the message to Daniel. Shows you the tremendous influence that demonic powers have. That's why in 1 Timothy 2, that's not a small matter. Pray for those that are in authority. They need our prayer. You know, if God's people today would pray for those in authority, things could be different today. And I believe they have been different because Christians have prayed. So that's reality. And then you have the last one there, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is all, of course, conjecture. We don't know exactly. But it's probably the demons that are involved in wretched, vile immoralities. People get caught up in awful perverseness, occult, Satan worship, and so forth. The demons that just are constantly, we see, bringing people down. Isn't it tragic when you see people totally hooked on heroin and fentanyl, and that kind of thing? It's just alcohol. It just, certainly habits are strong, but that's a major thing. But remember, be strong in the Lord, and we can have victory. It's not by anything weird, because that we don't need that. We have the Spirit of God in us. James 4:7, we're learning that, of course. We'll be getting to it in James. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and what's he got to do? Flee. What's the key to that whole verse? Submit yourselves to God. And in verse 13 of Colossians 1, I'll just read that. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so we need to be awakened all the time to the fact that the minute we get complacent, the minute we think we're okay, the minute we're living just the normal life, but not really walking in the Spirit, not taking time to pray, not putting a value on waging war for the cause of Christ, then 1 Corinthians 10:12 kicks into gear. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. How many Christians are falling? You know, see, you either are walking in the Spirit or you're not. You either are a victor or you're a victim. There's no in between. And we need to realize that as Satan is organized, God is ready to do a mighty work. A guard who sees the enemy approaching does not run out and start fighting by himself. He would lose. He reports the attack to his commanding officer, who then organizes the defense. When Satan attacks, it is foolish to try to do battle with him alone. Like the soldier on guard duty, we should simply report to the commander and leave the defense in his hands. As the Lord assured King Jehoshaphat, as his army faced the greatly superior forces of Moab and Ammon, and he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." When we're awake, we're on duty, we're sober-minded, we're watching, and we look to the Lord, the battle then becomes the Lord's. Folks, we don't have to be tricked. We don't have to be deceived. We don't have to be weakened. We don't have to be overcome. But when we walk in the flesh, that's what happens. Well, I'm just going to take just a moment on this final point, biblical resistance, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, obviously, we're not going through the armor of God. But folks, let me just say, every part of the armor of God is either on or not on. You're either fully defended and protected, or you're not defended at all. I've had Christians tell me over and over and over in counseling, "Pastor, I can't believe I did that." Have you ever thought that? Yeah, doing pretty well, and then you did it. You said that. You lost your temper. You saw something you shouldn't see. You did something you shouldn't do. Well, the armor wasn't on. Now, what he has in mind is a picture of the armor, of the, you can see there, and that's basically the different pieces. And in warfare, it was Rome had the money to be able to outfit these soldiers in a way they were protected. But I want you to notice that there were two shields. Only one shield is shown, and there's the little shield, but the man in the back there has that big shield. The shield of faith quench how many darts of the fiery darts of the wicked? All of them. And they said it was an awesome sight when the Roman legions, I couldn't find a picture of that, I'm sure it's out there, the Roman legions would come, they'd have their front line, and they'd all have these big shields that they could completely hide behind, and they would just march right into the enemy with those coming up behind. It was just, they feared the Roman legions. Well, folks, when we have the Spirit of God in control, and we have the shield of faith and the whole armor of God, and you've got an entire church walking that way, the gates of hell have got to recede. Satan cannot win. His purposes are thwarted. He is a defeated foe. What Christ did for us on Calvary is fully then experienced at that time. And that's why, when the flesh comes in and there are issues in our lives, how tragic, because holes in the line begin to show up and vulnerabilities show up, because in our flesh we can do nothing. And so this putting on of the armor is the idea of being clothed with it, putting it on fully. And it's in the present tense. It's the whole time having the whole armor. And we are to resist. We are to able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So clearly it's being said, as we're ministering, as we're serving the Lord, if we are truly, fully right with God, aware of the battle, and allowing God to give us all the different aspects of the armor, we can just continue to go forth. Now, Satan's going to come with different things, but God turns every device of Satan to his own purposes when we're trusting him. Many things we've had to face as a church, just unique things, and it's amazing to me how none of those things have ever stopped us, and God's just turned those to good. So resisting is the key to victory. We must not let ourselves cave in. And one of my big concerns, folks, today is that believers have comfortable Christianity. We have we want to believe right, but we're not that dedicated. And there's a lot of what I would call just easy church going on. And church is important, and people need to come together. But folks, it's far more than we're here to encourage one another so that his cause can be accomplished. And we've got to make sure that we're truly following what the Spirit of God is saying and that we are doing what the Word of God has said, not like that fellow that's reading the newspaper, and to let God work in our lives. And so we need to give everything to hold to the position of complete obedience. Anders said, Scripture is utterly consistent. If we have our armor in place, if we are firm in our faith, we may resist the devil. If we do, he will flee from us. And so in these days ahead, folks, our community may seem big and our culture may seem strong because Satan, of course, is the god of this world. But I remind you, Christ is on the throne. The Spirit of God is more powerful. We are the overcomers. We are more than conquerors in Christ. But we've got to be alert. We've got to be watching. We've got to be in the Word. Let me just quickly conclude with this. Dr. Bornar was speaking on heaven and the great reunion of loved ones over there. And as I read this, I thought, you know, this really could be the way it is. And in his eloquent way, he pictured the believer newly come from earth walking along the golden street and suddenly coming right up against a group of Old Testament prophets. He recognizes them and says, why, this is Ezekiel, isn't it? Ah, yes, said Ezekiel, I'm so glad to meet you. And this is Micah and Zechariah and Amos over here. Then Andrew Bornar said, and just imagine Ezekiel saying, you knew about me, did you? How did you like the book I wrote? What book was that? Oh, surely you remember the book. Did you enjoy it? I'm sorry to say I never read it. And then Micah would say, what did you think of my book? Let me see, was that in the Old Testament or in the New Testament? Seems to me I remember there was such a book. How would you feel to have to meet those men when you have never read their books? We have everything we need to win the victory. How serious are we? Folks, I can tell you in these next weeks in particular, the Lord's very serious right now. We saw miracles in this last week of how God's protected us. God is on our side. He is wanting to see God work. But the main thing for us, we don't need to concentrate on Satan. We need to concentrate on being fully right with God, armed by the Spirit of God with that protection that only comes, knowing his word, having that heart of prayer, and letting God give us a passion. Folks, if we would understand the awful hold that Satan has on this community, and we would get on God's side and get brokenhearted about what is happening to the world around us, I think we'd be amazed what God would do if we would pray that way. If we would pray against Satan, Satan has to back up, he has to flee, and when the church of the living God is unified in prayer and in walking with God against the different aspects of Satan's devices, Satan always loses. Oh, it can be a battle, but my friends, the potential. And I've been thinking about, if we would seek God for victory, he's ready to give it. Let's bow for prayer.